and that's the ball game. So the difference in this game is the Pirates in the top of the 10th made contact with a runner at third and less than two outs, and the Giants in their half did not. So here's your final. It's the Pirates 2, the Giants 1.
Well, you have to be aware of this.
Unbelievable.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All those calls on NBC Sports Bay Area, we're listening to you, venting Giants fans. We're here for you, 888-957-9570. And I'd like to say hello to the San Francisco 49ers social media team.
Hello.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
Want to know what they just tweeted?
I can probably guess.
They got a picture of Brock Purdy dropping back and throwing a pass. And right above it, it just says, take a deep breath and let football take over.
Wow. Uh-huh. That is pretty awesome.
Kaboo.
Total kaboo. That is pretty sweet.
Hey, that's right? 4 minutes ago. The Niners are like monitoring, I'm sure, the airwaves and social media. And they're like, hey, all of you angry people. R-E-L-A-X.
Unbelievable.
Relax. We're here.
We're coming. We're playing. We're open for business. Well, and we're actually not below 500.
No,
we're actually at 500.
We're 500.
We're
first place.
Yeah. Four-way tie.
We're buyers.
That's right.
We're buyers.
We're buyers at the deadline. That's pretty funny.
Oh, that dude. I
passive-aggressive genius is what that is.
It's tremendous. It's tremendous. You know, the Bay Area teams always congratulate each other, right? We'll get Steph Curry bobblehead day. You know, we're all in the same gang.
Right.
Yeah, not really. You are competing with one another on many levels. And the 49ers are about, like, camp is open. You got preseason football coming up right around the bend. They want to generate excitement, and they know exactly what's going on. You got a Warrior fan base that's like, Kuminga! And Giants fans are over here going, what the hell just happened?
The Niners could have gone even further. They could have said, here's Brock Purdy throwing a pass, and the person he's going to throw it to is actually going to catch it. Yeah, Niners. Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Totally.
49er football, we know the rules. I don't know. There's all kinds of things they could have done. Yeah, maybe 2 years ago they didn't. But yeah, they're like, we know now.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, take a deep breath and let football take over.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we would anyway, but the fact that you're saying that now on July 30th, that tells us that they're paying attention to what's going on. The Giants are 3-12 in their last 15.
They're done.
They're starting to sell ahead of the deadline, which is now coming up on 22 hours and 9 minutes away. So, yeah, when you get through tomorrow and you realize that maybe a couple more of your regular major leaguers are gone and you got a bunch of new guys around, yeah, football. We're here for you.
Listen, I did this last year and I'll do it again. This is the real now, okay? Let's talk about life for a second, because we're all sports fans, and so we love this stuff, and it's disappointing when they don't win. It's just joyous when they do. But at the end of whatever game and at the end of whatever season, what do? Right? You go eat. You check in on your family. You got work. Like, hopefully this doesn't, like, break your spirit. But here's what it does do for me this time of year. And even if you're sellers, which I clearly believe you are, you're also one game under 500, and what did you detail? What are they, 5 games out of a playoff spot?
Going into that game, I believe, Padres won, so you might have slipped a little further back. But okay. Yeah, you're 5 back, basically.
Yeah, like even if I did the same thing I did yesterday, which was 19.8, MLB playoff odds. Where do you think the Giants sit now? They were 19.8 yesterday. They have lost 2 baseball games since then. And traded one of their best relievers. That's all happened since I last asked you.
And are these odds updated in real time?
All the time. FanGraphs is like Darren Ruff. They're on the move.
Giants, by the way, are officially 6 back in the card.
All right, so 6 back. So they were 19.8% at yesterday's crossover. But they've lost 2 one-run games since then. And now here we are. So what do you think their playoff odds are in this moment?
What sort of a plus or minus do I get so that we can utilize the buzzer in the ding if I'm within the proper parameters?
1.5%
Either way.
Yep.
All right.
That's a gap of 3%.
Well, there are there's about 8 teams still in the wild card mix. Mm-hmm. That would imply a 1-8, which is 12.5. I'm going to say 12.5%. Was I too high or too low?
I have to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You can't just hit the buzzer.
I can guess and no.
There are times where you just impress the living hell out of me.
Oh, I hope this is one of them. You're going to take that buzzer back now.
Don't do the Dan Dibley could win at nothing thing. Don't do
you
that.
You still owe me an explanation for that.
I know you do, and it'll be an explanation sensation.
Dan Dibley could win at nothing.
It's not today. Listen.
Busy day today.
You flipping nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. 12.8%. And in fact, to clinch the wild card, 12.5%. Exactly what you said.
Crazy. Because I'm...
Nice job.
Thank you. I just used the implied odds, and right now there are 3 teams who are your wild cards, and there are 2 more ahead of them. But in actuality, Arizona's 9 back. They're probably not in it, but there are 8 teams within 12.5 games of each other. So I just took the 1-8 shot and thought, yeah, man, that's what we're going to go with.
Look, I mean, they're 12.8%. The Reds are 16.2, and they bought today.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're in it.
Ke'Bryan Hayes, right?
Yes, they did, from the Pirates. So they bought today, and they are only 3.5% higher than the Giants are.
And they're 3.5 back of San Diego.
Right. But here's on the real, okay? So, yeah, the Giants can still make the playoffs.
It's a little early in the year for the math is there.
Whip-de-doo.
But, yeah.
This is life now. I'm talking about... The Niners can tweet, hey, let football take over. Well, there's not a game that I actually care about for still more than another month. August calendar still has not technically started. And I was just thinking about the fact that school starts in about 3 weeks. Like
some are already back, by the way.
Right, some are already back, but mine still have 3 weeks to go here or so, maybe even a little bit more. I got to look and see when they start. I don't know. But, right, the honeymoon's over. We done got married. The travel schedule lightens up a little bit. I started thinking about, like, ooh, should I get the kids out to the yard again before school starts? And this is where my mind goes when you get to a moment like this. And literally as of 2 days ago, I was like, yeah, I'd like to get them one more, at least one more, out to the yard one more time. And now I'm like,
Valkyries?
Maybe we'll just go play some golf.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so that's what's now. If you are listening to us and you work for the Giants or what, like that's what's kind of on the line right now. Because I'm not big for just like, yeah, let's spend $250 on like, oh, let's just go sit out there. Like, no, there's got to be something going on here. And so that's kind of now. If you want the urgency of the next couple of weeks, yeah, show me that you're still a baseball team. Because right now, for a good solid 3 to 4 weeks, you do not look like one. And I do not want to spend a dollar on I don't know the rules of the game.
And you've always...
I'm not here for that.
That's always been your barometer, and I like that, where if you are a really attractive enterprise, if you're an entertainment property, then yeah, you go out there. And even if the team was a game below 500, but doing it in a different way, playing cleaner baseball and showing more focus and fight, it would feel different than what this has felt like when you've dropped 12 of 15 and you've been sloppy and you can't hit with runners in scoring position. And, you know, your big star that you already acquired has not been a big star. So all those things add up to where, yeah, I think a Valkyries game actually might be not only more bang for the buck, but more of an entertaining...
They're a blast.
Yeah, and you know they're wrapping up a crazy road trip here pretty soon where they played like 5 games in 9 days in 5 cities, and even without their best player, they're still competing.
Yeah, they won last night.
Right, they are in the mix for a playoff spot. So if you want to look at an outing and spending your money on a property... That right now is much better in bang for your buck.
Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line 510. I almost to a man agree with this one. Listen to this. Available for trade. Yaz, Matos, Ramos, Wisely, Ray, Schmidt, Fitzgerald, Bailey, Doval. Untouchable, Devers, Chapman, Adames, Jung-Hoo, Webb, and Rodriguez. And then I'm going to add in the minor leaguers, like Bryce Eldridge, Carson Wisenhunt. No reason to trade them now at all. The only name that I would remove from one list and put to the other is probably Elliot Ramos. And I don't necessarily think of the word untouchable, but again, if what you're trying to do is rebuild your youth and rebuild your farm and all of that, why are you trading Elliot Ramos, who was an all-star a year ago and is under team cheap control for four more years after this one? Unless what you're just so mad at him for what he's doing on the base paths that you're like, I want you all, get off my team. Like, other than that, there's no reason.
What about Jung-Hoo Lee? Like, as a guy who, he hasn't been great, so I don't think that you're going to get tremendous value because he has not had a great year. And he does have value to you as an entertainment property. You got a lot of 51 jerseys out there and people wearing orange wigs and the whole deal.
Jung-Hoo crew.
That's right. And I do think that matters in this calculus.
For sure it does. Yeah, I actually do think he's untouchable. It would be embarrassing for the Giants to have put hats in the souvenir stands and stuff all over the ballpark and ticket packages and the hooligans and all of these people out there, and then they're going to trade him. Like, he still hasn't even played a full year of Major League Baseball.
Right. He's just about there now.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I'm not done with that. I know the Giants are not done with that. All right. Let's go out to the phones, and you can vent. Who do you want traded? Who do you not want traded? The Giants season is being signaled as largely over by their front office with the trading of Tyler Rogers today to the New York Mets for three players. One of them out of the Mets bullpen. The other two on the doorstep of the bigs have been in and out of the bigs. But AAA players at this hour who represent both the 10th and 12th prospects in the Mets organization, a starting pitcher and an outfielder. So baseball people say pretty good haul for Tyler Rogers, who's about to be 35 years old and is a free agent at the end of the year. Usually don't get rental prices like that anymore. So that's pretty good, but we'll see where it goes. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let's go to Lucky in the city. Hi, Lucky. What's up? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Dan. I don't know really too much what to say right now, man. My mental and my health is like driving me bats with this team, man. It's like we have a pig, man. You guys put makeup on it. Let's go and put it out there. Somebody will buy it. Nobody is buying it. These guys can't hit, man. Like, you throw a grapefruit at them, man, they can't swing and hit it, man. What's going on? Like, Devers? Okay. Matt Chapman, okay, here and there. Adames, yeah, he's okay, but he's off and on. Jung-Hoo, where are you? Yaz, come on, man. Like, but my main problem, guys, is I have to say it. What about Bob? Because he is not the one, man. He is not the one. Period. At all, man. At all. And Mark, I'm sorry, I did burn on my stuff, but I had to go and buy back another, buy back another set. So I have a fresh City Edition shirt, sweat. Oh. I burned it. Yeah,
you burnt it? Wait, for real? Whoa. You bought, now are you talking about old City Connect or this year's City Connect?
I am talking about this year's City Connect, and, Mr. Willard and
you
Mr.
burned
Disley.
It? You burned it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I got a tongue lashing, so I went back and I got another fresh one.
Bad for the environment, by the way.
Who'd you get a tongue lashing from? Who gave you the tongue lashing, Lucky?
He's like, what the H are you doing? You bought this. You love your team. Why are you doing this? I said, because they're playing like a bunch of heck. Ubu. Like, what's going on, man? Oh, like,
I have so many questions, Lucky. Did you like go in your backyard? I want to know what did you, a barbecue pit? What did you do?
Mark, I went. I grabbed my fresh black snapback City Edition shirt,
okay,
and hat. Okay. I had my meat. I lit the grill. I put them jokers up under the on top of the coals, and I lit it up and had a good fat burger. But I had, like I said, I had to re up and go get another set. So I did that, and it came, and I got it, and it's in the closet now.
What game put you over the edge, Lucky?
The game that put me over the edge, I think it was the Mets series, and then these past two games where you let go of Joey, I don't have my Clipper Bart, and this guy comes back and hits us for two hits, man, and wins the game. Like,
so you just burnt the jersey over the weekend, and they've already got another one?
Yeah, I had to, Mark. You know, if I didn't, man, I probably would have been, you know, sleeping in the car, man, for the next 2 days. I had to do that.
Lucky, whose jersey was it? Whose name was on it?
It wasn't a jersey. It was just basic shirt and hat set.
Just the hat. Okay. Just the hat.
The shirt and the hat.
And you actually burned the fumes of this into a burger and then ate it.
I ate it.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's how pissed off I was, Mark. And I didn't, you know, I'm sorry for reaching out to you, you know, on social media, man. But I had to vent because I know you're a big Giants fan, just like I am. So I had to just let off some steam, man. You already know, man.
Yeah, the way they're playing, that burger probably turned into a sloppy Joe. Am I right?
It crumbled apart, but I still ate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Imagine that.
How do Giants taste, Lucky?
They taste nasty right now.
Lucky, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Lucky. That's just for Lucky and for all Giants fans, keep Willie Adames' name out your mouth.
Out your mouth.
Number 3 in all of baseball in July OPS.
Yeah, he's been an absolutely outstanding.
He's behind Stowers and Schwarber. Then comes Willie Adames. His OPS this month, 1123.
Do you know what's weird? Willie Adames has, I know that this is a phrase in baseball, but it means something different for Willie. He's got reverse splits.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know what I mean by that?
It means he hits better against righties because he's a righty.
Right, but that's not what I mean for Willie. It means when he sucks, the Giants are good.
I gotcha.
And when he's good, the Giants suck.
And that's...
that's what's happened. Yeah.
Well, in a sport like baseball, it becomes patently unfair.
Totally. Where, when you're one player can't drive a bus.
And, you know, Chapman has been good, too, and yet... he could be as good as he wants, and if you're throwing the ball all over the yard and Hayden Birdsong can't get a single batter out and nobody else is going to hit, then you can't do it alone. What was it the other day? Chapman had 2 home runs.
Yes, he did.
And they lost 5-3.
Yep.
Because your offense was basically that.
And he struck out twice in the late innings with runners
on
them.
Right, but 2 home runs, what are you going to do?
I get it. But that's what defines the Giants. Like, even when somebody has one of those go-off games, Willie did it in Toronto. When he homered twice. They can't win.
Yeah.
They can't win because they don't get the game that break the game open hit. They never do. They never get that hit. Right? You get a couple homers, you're up 3-2 in the 6th inning, and the bases are loaded in 2 outs, and somebody gaps one and makes it 6-2. They don't get that hit.
They've done it this month 4 times where they've had innings in which they score 4 or more runs. And I've been tracking this all year just to see, like, when it happens, do they win? And the Giants, I'm sure most teams win a lot when that happens. Against the Dodgers, they put up 5 in the 5th. They won.
Grand slam.
Against Toronto on the road, they put up 4 in the 5th. They lost the game.
They lost.
And then against Atlanta the other day, they actually scored 4 in 2 different innings in the same game.
And they won.
And they won. Yeah. They go back-to-back 9-run games. And you're thinking, okay, hitting woes.
We back.
We back.
Yeah, that's right.
Nah, not so much.
0-6 homestand with the Pirates in town. That's crazy.
Yaz for the month, OPS of 526. Wilmer, 604. Ramos, 623.
Yeah, by the way, okay, keep going.
Devers, 705.
Okay.
Jung Hoo Lee, 733. Not terrible. Chappie 740 and then Adamas 1100.
I know a lot of you today, we've got a lot of people who are like, trade Yaz. Who is it that you think wants Yaz right now? What team is like, dude, we're on the doorstep of winning this thing? You know what we need? We need a left-handed hitting, slumping fourth outfielder. That's going to put us over the top.
How about that catch, though?
He's good, but he's a very good outfielder. Look, I love Mike Yastrzemski. I really do. But I'm just talking about dollars and cents right now. That's not somebody who's going to get you much in return, especially as a rental down the stretch. No, nobody's looking for a slumping, platooning outfielder. Like, that's not who's a free agent at the end of the year in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking for that.
Casey Schmidt, 5'10". He's 10 for 55 this month. And the list goes on and on. Matos has only had 38 at-bats, but he's 6 for 38. So there are no answers offensively anywhere outside of Adamas. And, Daniel Johnson, actually, 1 for 3 with a double. He's got 1,000 OPS.
Well, yeah, he's not on the team.
He had the one good game, right? He had 3 at-bats.
That's good. That's good. All right. I think people want to weigh in here, okay? Vent. Who do you want traded? Who do you not want traded? The Giants season is effectively over, so says their front office, based on their behavior. Tyler Rogers is a Met. 888-957-9570. They get swept by the Buccos. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Mark. How are you, man?
What's up?
And Dave, listen, hey, man, my dad had a house in Gosh, what's the name of the place where you from? Over at Excelsior? Yeah, so anyway, so I've been here a while. Listen, the Giants are dealing from a place of strength, right? They gave up one of those relievers because they have great pitching. All those 2 one-run games, all those really, really close games, we have pitching. And I hope they don't just quit and sell all the pitchers, which would be from an area of strength, man. I mean, look, we gave up Kevin Gausman. I was saying, please don't trade him. And let him go. Who was the guy they sent to the Yankees last year? They just let him go.
Rodon.
Right? They better keep Rodon, right? They better keep Robbie Ray. Don't sell the pitching staff because pitchers are too hard to come by. They really, really need to get. You remember when they got the guy Scudero?
Yep.
Remember when we got Freddie Sanchez?
Yep.
You know, we need to just try to search and bring in some bats and some people who got some real, real heart and want to play baseball. And they need to scout and find out who wants to play and who wants to win, or find some winners. Like the guy Lewis Robert from the White Sox. He's a good player.
Where are you putting him?
Or the guy from the Texas.
Where are you putting him, Mark? And by the way,
I put him in right. Here.
Yeah, Lewis Robert. He's a nice young player, but he hasn't played well in 2 years. You know what I mean? Like I think the only issue I have with your thinking right now, Mark, is that the examples you're giving are nice supplemental pieces that joined a really good baseball team. This isn't a really good baseball team. Like, you want this Giants team to go get good hitters? They went and got Rafi Devers. That's one of the greatest hitters in the game. And they sucked since they got him.
Right, but remember, Adamas started off slow, too. That's
yes.
A heavy transition. Coming from across the country to a new league, give him an opportunity. Just like Willie Adamas, finally, when he got settled, then he starts hitting.
And
I'll give him all year, Mark.
I'm not worried about Rafi Devers.
Okay, and so that's happening. Let him play. But you got to hit against contagious as well, right? So you got to get some guys that want to hit. See, Devers is pressing. I can look at him and tell he's pressing. He sees that 309 to right field. He wants to do what Bonds did, right? He's pressing. He's a good hitter. Right, but they need to get either that guy Adolis Garcia from Texas. If they dangling these people out here, man, go ahead and get one of those. I guess they get one more superstar bat and come up with a lineup instead of all these holes. Or get the guy Rashman from Baltimore.
Adley Rashman.
What's the first base?
So,
they need to get one of these guys.
O'Hearn, yeah. So Mark, listen, I love the passion. I love the take. You got to listen to me here now, okay? This isn't my opinion. And it's not your opinion. Let's go with their opinion. Mark, it's over, dog. It's over. Buster Posey.
Is there a game under 500? You
mean
when they 120 straight?
Mark, they just gave up a reliever who 3 weeks ago they were pitching Major League Baseball to take him on the All-Star team, and they just gave him to the team they're about to play in 48 hours, who is in first place in the National League East in exchange for two minor leaguers and another reliever who's not as good. Like, I'm doing here is I'm the messenger. Dibs is the messenger.
Right.
Buster Posey just told y'all today it is over this year.
Most catchers are pretty good managers, right? Look at Bochy.
Sure.
Look at Tony La Russa. Look at the guy from San Diego. Who else? Give me some catchers.
How about Bob Melvin? How about what's my man in Cleveland?
Vogt, I believe.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's tons of them.
Yep.
So Buster can't work from emotion. He has to work from facts, man. You don't trade anybody to one of the teams that you're going to have to face eventually in the playoffs.
But they just did.
Don't do that.
I don't think this is emotional, Mark.
You do it when you don't think you're going to actually face them in the playoffs, Mark. And thank you for the call. And I do think that that's the biggest tell of a sell is when you trade. Fine, you're going to get something for a guy who's going to be a free agent, and you got a nice haul back, and many of the experts are saying, wow, they did really well.
Yep.
But you sent that player who was an almost all-star to a National League rival that you're trying to catch and maybe beat in the playoffs if you get there. If you think you're going to face them in the playoffs, you don't give them yet another weapon to use against you.
Listen, every opinion is welcome here, but I'd argue Buster is not the one talking from emotion. I would argue Mark in San Francisco is the one talking from emotion. Buster's the one who has the numbers on his side. Buster's the one who just pivoted because his baseball team is awful right now. And that's not an emotional thing. That's a fact. They're the worst team in baseball since they got Rafi Devers. And it's not just losing games. It's doing embarrassing things on the diamond.
And that's now more than 6 weeks.
Yeah, this is not a small sample. Trades at the deadline in sports are by definition messages. You either earn that they spend more money and give up future assets to go for a ring, or you don't earn it. And this team has very clearly not earned it. So why would the organization give up assets to go for now when now is no longer a good bet? That's malpractice. You don't do it that way. You just don't.
Yeah, it's risky, and if you did, you'd have to use some of your assets in the farm that you don't even have that many of anyway. So a trade like this today, you can pitch it as a combo platter where, yeah, you sold one of your better relievers, but you did get three players back. Maybe they can help you now. They hopefully will help you next year. So it's not a complete give up and wait till 2028 because you acquired a bunch of 18-year-olds. No. You got a major league reliever who goes right in your bullpen when you get out to New York, and you got a starter who I think will be in the rotation sooner rather than later. And so you got guys who you hope can help you right away.
Let's go to MDK1 in the Yoon. What's going on, MDK? What's up?
Oh, just driving home with my little girls in the back seat. I have some venting to do.
Let's do it.
So, I think we knew the season was over. It may be a bitter pill to swallow, but we knew it was over before this trade today. I think you got to just, I mean, I'm not saying a complete sell. I'm not saying open up Webb and everybody else. But, you know, Duvall, bye. Get ready for next year. When we're free of Flores and Yastrzemski, go sign Kyle Tucker, bring him in, bring up Eldridge. Much better lineup right off the bat. That's not even including anybody else you got. So I think, and then Melvin and his coaching staff, I think, honestly, I'm at the end of my rope with them too. Like, we have a third base coach who doesn't know when to send people, know when to hold them up. I have a theory about Mark Hallberg being the next manager because he's Buster's buddy. And, yeah, so I'm, you know, it's time to move on. This Rodgers trade today is just the next step. I think we knew for a while now, for the last few weeks at least, it was over, man.
MDK, thanks, man. Appreciate it. It's a good rant. I know that, look, this is normal in sports. When something doesn't go well, you go after whoever's in charge of the on-field or on-court product. Totally get it. Don't think it's necessarily unfair, but this is just my read. I do not believe that Buster Posey in this front office, I don't think they're pointing at Bob Melvin. You can. I get it. I don't think that they're pointing at Bob Melvin. I don't think it's been a good year for Bob Melvin. I think that the stench of what we've seen the last month is on everyone. But at the same time, I don't think this early into his tenure and some of the sort of like keen aspects of what you're seeing these players do, I don't think Buster thinks that this is a Bo Mel issue. They recently gave him another year, and they did it purposefully so that people wouldn't start to kind of go after Bob during a losing streak. And I think that that's going to continue at least for next season. At least for next season.
Or into next season.
Yeah.
And I do think that if these issues and these mistakes continue to percolate to the surface next year, and that next year's team has a similar kind of up and down year where you're not playing very buttoned up, you might see a move made. But I also think about the bigger picture of what's going on at Third and King. And this year is almost like the bonus year. You want to compete. You want to be good. You always want to win. I get that. But when you do what you've done this year and you bring in Devers and you sign Adames and you've got a pitching staff that, let's be fair, Logan Webb and Robbie Ray at the top, proven, legit Cy Young restaurant quality. Beyond that, if it's Birdsong and Roop, it's Harrison and Hicks, it is Carson Wisenhunt, it's a wildly unproven and young rotation. Your bullpen looked good and it has been good, but beyond that, your offense is still not even league average. So if you want to start making desperate moves, I don't think that now is the time. I think that this year was a look-and-see kind of year. Mm. You had a chance to get Devers, and you did. And you've made some good moves. And I'm not saying it's look-and-see like, you go ahead and be 70 and 92. But I don't think that you're in a spot where you're going to make a managerial move just because you're struggling. You're not going to make a desperation trade to bring in a big bat.
Oh, and no.
You're not going to I think that this is a year you're taking a look at what you have. You've been better than you thought. You've been worse than you thought. And here you are, a game below 500.
I hear you, but I'm going to stick to what I said a number of weeks ago, which is that, I hate the word expectation, but for this to be a good season, the Giants had to go to the playoffs. And I laugh every time everyone's like, well, this was never going to be a good year. Listen, you have four players. You have four offensive players who have nine-figure contracts. You had the best bullpen in the league and two all-stars in your starting rotation. You're telling me you can't make the playoffs with that when half the league doesn't even try? I think you're crazy. Every one of you out there who is like, no, we never expected anything this year. Come on, Mark. They weren't really that good. This was just a lucky start. Anybody who's saying that, I respectfully don't think you're understanding the analytics of baseball. When you've got the best bullpen in the league, two all-stars out of your starting five rotation, and four regulars who have nine-figure contracts, you're telling me that we shouldn't be talking playoffs? I'm not saying they're the Dodgers. They're definitely not the Dodgers. I wouldn't have even favored them to win a round in the playoffs. But that's a playoff team. That should be a playoff team. And what has happened for the last month is absolutely stunning and totally unacceptable.
I agree.
So this is not like, I don't buy the whole like, this year didn't matter. This year mattered. And this is a disaster.
It's a disappointment, yeah. And it's not over yet. And they are six out. And so it's not looking great. You mentioned before their StatCast or their, you know, baseball playoff prediction number now is at 12.5%, which, so you're saying there's a chance. Not a great chance. The preseason win total over under, as set by DraftKings, was 80.5. So the Vegas experts, sure, who make a living and they build multi-million-dollar casinos, based on these odds that they set, they had him as an 81-81 team.
That's prior to Rafi Devers being on the team. That's prior to knowing that Robbie Ray was going to pitch the way he did. It's prior to knowing that it's the best bullpen in baseball.
It's so, prior to a lot of things.
Sure. Like, if you would say, okay, the baseline is 500 baseball, and then if I had told Vegas before the season those factors, the bullpen would perform at the highest level, two of your five starters would make the All-Star team, and actually Rafi Devers is on the squad. And I'd say plus, and you'd give up almost nothing off of the major league roster to make that happen. That win total goes up five or six games,
well,
for sure, in my opinion.
What if I added in to your mix, and you're not wrong about those factors, but you're going to be a below replacement level defense at a number of different spots. You're going to have a multitude of offensive players who are more offensive than offensive, and you're going to have a situation where the back half of your rotation is not going to be as good as you thought it was going to be. So,
well, that, I see that as a mixed bag. I mean, Landon Roop has been way better than you thought he was going to be. Birdsong was pretty good and then mentally went into a total tank and whatnot. You know, Verlander, that's been a little bit disappointing.
Yep.
Harrison's not on the team anymore, et cetera,
Hicks
et cetera.
Hicks is gone.
Yep. So, I mean, I don't know, a little bit of a mixed bag.
Yep.
But, yeah, you're not wrong. That's the way that it played out. But I think the projection of what you're looking at, when you have that level of money and commitment onto your offensive side, everyday players, really actually pretty good health. You lost Chapman for a little while, but outside of that, pretty good health. You acquire Rafi Devers and your pitching staff, its metrics are wonderful, and you play in a pitcher's park. Dude, you should be a good baseball team. Not great, but good.
Yeah.
And they're not good.
Well, they're a game below 500.
Yeah, but this is an extended period of what I would argue is like, you're not struggling. You're just not good. Like, you're doing all kinds of things. Your characteristics of your losses are of a team that, like, doesn't even focus on what they're doing.
Agreed. And if I had bet the over at 80.5 or 81.5, wherever it eventually landed, I would have been feeling pretty good for a long time, even as most recently as when they get to 52-43. I mean, you're there with only, you know, 60-some-odd games to go, and you're 9 above, and you're looking like a real threat to be a playoff team, and now you're a game below. And I would be sick to my stomach if I would have made that season win total bet at the start of the year, especially when you look at the schedule that they had in the second half. Based on the opponents that you're facing, you had one of the easier schedules in Major League Baseball, and you've gone out and been swept by a Pirates team that's not very good.
Swept by the Marlins.
Not very good.
2 out of 3 in Chicago.
Right. And so when you look at these games where you should be fattening up and you're not, and now you've got the Mets and, you know, you get the Padres coming up, so it just becomes difficult to even scratch out a 500 year.
Next up, Sean in San Jose. Hi, Sean. We appreciate your call. What's up?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Just wanted to call in and talk some Giants baseball. You guys keep talking. You're not the first person to say this. A lot of people are saying, well, you trade Mike Yastrzemski. Who do you trade him for, or who's next? Don't they have Luis Matos sitting on a bench every day? He never gets any run. All I've heard for the last 4 or 5 years from the Farhan era, oh, we have a great farm system. Matos, Luciano, Eldridge, all these other players that have come up and they haven't performed. Helio Ramos hasn't been performing. It's time to get these guys more at-bats. Get Yastrzemski out. Had a great play in the outfield today. Hitting-wise, he's not it. Let's move on from him. Trade him for cash considerations, whatever you can get. I'm not saying he's going to be a star somewhere else and we're going to light up and get a huge haul for him, but let's see what else we have in the depth. The other area where Buster Posey kind of messed up too, as well with the Devers trade, is you added too many DHs and first basemen to the team. I don't mind the Devers trade long-term, because next year when you look at it, get rid of Flores, you have Dom Smith, who I thought was good defensively, and I think they could have ran it with Dom Smith and Will Flores at the DH for the rest of the year without trading for Devers. But now let's put Devers at first base, and let's get ready for Bryce Eldridge next year. That's your DH. That's your first baseman combo next year. That's pretty much all I got to say. Go Giants.
Sean, thanks. Appreciate it. Some interesting points in there. I will say this, and this goes for the Golden State Warrior conversation too. Sometimes I find it fascinating with this idea of like when you've got a young player and people want to let him get run. And I'm always curious about what do you mean by that? What is it you want? What kind of a runway do you want for this young player? Let's see. He brings up Luis Matos.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at it. Matos has been on the roster for quite some time right now. Matos has played in 13 games in the month of July. He has 38 at-bats. He has had quite a few starts out there in right field in a platoon role with Mike Yastrzemski. Why does Yaz get more starts? Because there are more right-handed people than left-handed people on planet Earth. Therefore, the left-hander is going to get more of the starts. And I would argue with this opportunity that Matos clearly has so far this year, he's been awful. Now, he's a young player, so I'm not like done with him or anything like that. I'm not saying his career's over. But Luis Matos has been around for a little while right now. And 38 bats in the month of July, he has 6 hits. He has 6 hits. Mm. And if you take away the moment where he hit the game-tying home run against the Dodgers late, there's very little going on there. And, oh, by the way, he's been a minus on defense as well. What kind of ramp-up do you want professional teams to give to young players? Because it feels to me sometimes like people are like, just screw winning. Just forget it.
He needs a runway.
Let's just watch young people develop all day. Is that what y'all want out of pro sports?
I mean, maybe in September we do.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want people doing that with your season. The point is to win, not develop, unless you like Marlins baseball.
Well, unless you can develop and win,
yeah.
Which everybody wants that. And
that's
this is
38 at-bats this month.
And
he's,
you know,
playing.
We can save what I was going to bring for the Kuminga conversation, which all roads lead to Kuminga, and there's more we can talk about tomorrow. This Giants thing today,
sure, it's coming.
Took on a life of its own,
yep.
But the idea of the Warriors and development is an interesting notion because the Warriors won. So can you win and develop? It's really hard. You love the stat WAR in baseball, wins above replacement,
sure.
Which indicates how good you are versus the average player at your position in baseball. Lamont Wade Jr. this year was a minus 1.1. He got DFA'd. The next worst position player is Luis Matos,
yeah.
Who's a negative 0.6. Young player, still has a lot of upside and a future at 23, but right now, he is not. If you're in a pennant chase, and the Giants have been up until a couple hours ago,
right.
If you're in that spot, you can't keep rolling a guy like that out there who is lost at the plate and is not a good defensive player.
He's got a career negative 1.2 WAR. And, you know, look, again, yeah, he's a young player. He's 23. But I guess my argument is they are having him play. He is. He's on the roster.
Right.
He starts every second or third game. He comes in to pinch hit for Yaz when there's a lefty on the mound. That's his role. That's what his role is. So he's up. He's playing. Like, you don't turn the baton over to all of the kids, especially when you're 10 games over 500, which is what the Giants were not that many weeks ago.
Who's number two in WAR on the Giants in position players?
Number two?
Yeah, because number one is Matt Chapman.
Matt Chapman.
3.3. Number two is Yaz with a 2.0
really?
Wins above replacement because he's such a great defensive player.
Yep.
And offensively, when he does something well, it's usually a big hit, a home run. He doesn't get a lot of hits, it seems, but he's got a 2.0 WAR this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing well. I mean, he's completely fallen off. But, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that you're like, oh, yeah, he's having a nice year. And then he hit another wall. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
So, listen, you guys... I'm sitting here with the pooch.
We yeah. Talk,
so here we go. Yeah. You're going to vehemently disagree with me on this. You already have, actually. But I think they should pretty much stay pat with the team and start looking around for a replacement for Bob Melvin. So hear me out, okay? I followed this guy's career pretty closely. I was a big A's fan for years when he was there. He was one of the best A's managers of all times. You know, manager of the year in both leagues. Very few have accomplished that. But the thing about Bob is he tends to wear out his welcome. So he's done it with three teams. He didn't do it with Oakland because basically they sabotaged him. The owner said, went to him and said, hey, you know, we're getting rid of anybody that's any good, replacing him with, you know, a bunch of rookies, has-beens and never were's. So here's your chance to leave. But in every other case, you know, team started losing, things went south or sideways. They said, okay, time for you to go. I mean, his last gig with San Diego was, you know, with a team with a bunch of stars that underperformed. And that's the point I want to make here. We have, more than anything, a bunch of players that are underperforming. And that's mental to me, okay? They're just not out there focused, you know, doing the right things, making silly mistakes. You know, and that's the purview of the manager and his coaching staff to fix that. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. So I really think they should start looking for somebody. And finding a good replacement, that's not easy. I get it. But before we start looking at getting rid of players that are underperforming, let's look more carefully at the management position.
Well, Gene, look, I think it's an opinion that probably a lot of people share right now. At the same time, my answer to you on this one would be that it's first of all, it's too early for that. And second of all, this is what I would wonder. For example, a lot of people bring up the tenure in San Diego and they go, dude, you had a lot of good players and that didn't go well. Does it do anything for you that Chapman, who used to play for him, and Blake Snell, who was on that team in San Diego, when given the opportunity, both chased Bo Mel to go play for him again? Does that do anything for you? I know some of you will go, oh, that just means he's a nice guy. But again, if a manager's job is to kind of run a clubhouse and create an opportunity for players to put them in their best position to succeed, all the things that we say about a coach or a manager, does it do anything for you that those players, they chased this manager and wanted to play for him again? I have a hard time blaming the San Diego situation on him, knowing that there was a terrible relationship between him and his general manager.
Yeah, A.J. Preller, and you've detailed this.
Yeah, and I'm never going to come down a manager's road for not winning in Oakland with the resources that are not allowed based on the overall leadership in the last handful of years with that organization.
In Oakland.
And he did win, exactly.
His last 5 years were all winning seasons, including the COVID year, 36-24. And I was looking back, doing the deep dive on all playoffs and all three big sports. They had 8 playoff teams in each league in that COVID year. 16 teams made the playoffs. It was like a funky NBA sort of 1-versus-8 format, but he backed it up the next year going 86-76, and the A's haven't sniffed it since. So yep. I do think that there's a Bob Melvin conversation about how has he done this year. The other thing is
he's had a bad year. He has had a bad year. I don't mean that. I don't think that means you fire him.
No, and I do think to that point, you find throughout baseball the organizations that fire managers and they fire them fairly frequently. Those are the bad organizations. Yep. Gabe Kapler got 4 years, almost a full 4 years, before it was clear that he had lost that clubhouse and he had to go. But he got 4 years. Right now, Bob Melvin's sitting on year 2, and yeah, he has not knocked it out of the park, pun intended, but I think that there's still enough that he's done right to give him plenty more opportunity.
I'm with you. I get the frustration. I think there are a lot of places to point. I think he's one of them. I don't think making a managerial change is going to suddenly make this group of Giants suddenly play good baseball. Hey, this is totally off the subject, but I want to throw it into the conversation because it's actively happening as we speak. Shohei Ohtani has exited today's game between the Reds and the Dodgers. He has exited the game as a pitcher, leaving with a trainer. And his last 6 pitches before he did so literally looked like somebody who, like, he looked like Hayden Birdsong.
They were bad. We had the game on up here.
Yeah, ball's going all over the place.
As we speak, he's in the batter's box. 2-2 count, okay. Top of the sixth.
Okay, that's, I mean, it's good that he didn't, like, totally exit. But, this whole, the two-way player thing, they've been extending him, and it wasn't going to be till next year that he was going to be a regular starting pitcher anyway. But I got to wonder if there has been a setback with regard to Shohei the pitcher, not Shohei the hitter, but Shohei the pitcher.
Yeah, just looking at those six pitches, the mechanics looked off, and he looked to be laboring and clearly struggling to find what he normally has, which is 99 pinpoint with movement. This was not that.
No, this was like everything was right. If you imagine a right-handed batter up there, everything was low and outside, and then lower and more outside, and then like so low and outside that you're almost missing the catcher entirely. Is kind of what it looked like, and then he left the game. All right, there's plenty more time to still, if you want to vent on the Giants season, which again, this is my translation of it. Buster Posey is telling you fans today that the focus is no longer on this year, or a more firm way to say it, it's over. The run is over. The Giants have been swept by the Pirates. They went 0-6 on a homestand. They have a losing record. Tyler Rogers now plays for the Mets, and the Giants got a haul of three players in return, two of them high-level minor leaguers for the New York Mets, and the word is, quote, more deals are coming. And that comes from a source. Let's put it that way.
Nice.
Comes from a source. So what's your reaction, Giants fans, and do you want to vent? This is a great place to let it out. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems, and this is Willard and Dibs.
Certain ahead.
And you actually burned the fumes of this into a burger and then ate it.
I ate it. That's how pissed off I was, Mark.
How do Giants taste, Lucky?
They're nasty right now. They taste nasty right now.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
So Tyler Rogers doesn't play for the Giants anymore, and we got fans eating the remnants of their own hats. I didn't have the season going that way. I really didn't.
It turned in a hurry, too, is the thing.
Sure did.
Yeah, and that's the real shameful part. It didn't have to be like this. You had things in a good spot, and there was excitement. Roop gets hurt. Okay, that's not good. Verlander gets a win. You put up back-to-back nine spots in Atlanta. All right, Giants. Here we go. Got a pretty soft schedule coming up and a six-game homestand. Let's get excited. Lick your chops because you're facing the Buccos and you don't face Skeens and they're not very good. And it's 1, 2, 3 games you're out and now we're in the seller's market. My God. It happens quick. Life comes at you fast.
It happens so fast. And again, we talked about it about an hour ago. The San Francisco 49ers are there to pounce on social media as just about an hour or so ago, they tweet out some video of their players working out at camp, including Brock Purdy dropping back to throw a long pass. And they write, take a deep breath and let football take over. And guess what? That's exactly what's going to happen. That's it. You have multiple opportunities in the summertime to capture an audience if you're baseball. And look at what's been granted to you. The 49ers are coming off of a 6-11 campaign, and the Warriors are the only team in the NBA that did not make a free agency move so far. And right now, while there is drama, there's nothing to sink your teeth into, and people are actually frustrated by the conversation surrounding Jonathan Kuminga blocking everything up. Absolutely ripe for the Giants to come in and have a great summer, and it looked like they were capitalizing in a major way with both a winning record and a blockbuster trade bringing a great player to the team. And here we are,
before
August. And you're going to sit here, any of you, and tell me, this is what the Giants were. Of course, they're predictable. You're funny for even thinking it was going to be. Do you understand the disaster that this is behind closed doors for that organization right now?
disaster.
It is embarrassing. It is financially preventative.
For sure.
It is so many things that I'm trying to tell you. This is bad. This is really, really bad what has taken place.
And you just laid that out in a way that had me thinking about the sports calendar and the way the ebbs and flows go, because football is king. We get that. And even when the Warriors season starts, we're jacked up about the first game, certain games. We love Steph Curry, so we watch everything. But come Sunday, if the Warriors have a game on a Sunday, you're going to have to record that baby, because it's 7 hours and we're all locked in. And even Monday night, whatever, football is king. The Warriors season ended on May 14th in a Game 5 loss to the T-Wolves. Yep. On that same day, the Giants, they lost, but they fell to 25-19, and you didn't have any draft yet. The 49ers were maybe in some voluntary this or some organized team that. Starting on May 16th, the Giants beat the Athletics, and the Giants got May and June, and they got all of July to have it to themselves. And had they not spit up on themselves over the course of these last couple of weeks, honestly, Mark, we'd be humming into August and it'd be like Kuminga. All roads lead to
For
Kuminga.
Sure. I mean,
Niners were getting ramped up, but hey, you've got to watch this orange and black, because they're cooking. They're a thing, but they took a golden opportunity to own us, and that's why the Niners are like, yeah, thanks, Giants. Basically, we'll go ahead and take it from here.
Like, real talk, I am more interested in this moment in the 49ers kicking competition than I am in this series against New York this weekend.
Wow, that's pretty damning. And it's you keep it real. Like, you're a big-time fan, and people call you a homer and all that, but in a moment like this, when you say that, that tells me the depth of your frustration.
Well, I'm taking my cues from the leader.
Buster Posey
thinks it's over. So, well, Buster Posey thinks it's over, and players on the team don't know the rules. They don't catch the ball. They don't hit the ball. They don't
throw it at the other team.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we supposed to do with all that?
Well, you have to be aware of this.
And then you're over there with 7 hours. And that gets my mind going in a completely different space.
Right.
When are we getting him on? When's
Scott
the right
Hansen.
Time to... Yeah, Scott Hansen. When are we getting him on? By the way, and I have a selfish reason for asking. This is kind of fun. We should probably end the show with this. This is fun. So I got a text about like 2 hours ago. It's from my oldest son. And we're going to be... he's going to be down in L.A. for a few days. And his cousin, my nephew, lives down there. They have a fantasy league together. And I guess they're doing their draft like next week. And I try to tell them, like, part of it is because they don't live in the same city, and so they want to do it when they're together. But I'm like, just understand, because I've fallen into this trap before earlier in life, your draft is way too early and you're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do your draft on Tuesday, and at least three players on your team will be hurt or cut, or traded, or demoted, or whatever. You're going to draft somebody in the sixth round who's like not even on the team. I promise you, it'll happen, and you're going to regret it. But whatever.
Yeah.
Do you?
I think I know where you're going, but...
I bet you don't.
Not,
where do you think I'm going?
This is the first thing I thought of. having Scott Hansen do a cameo for you in your fantasy football league.
I stand corrected for the eighth time today. That's exactly where I'm going.
Even though we've been apart for 2 weeks, it's funny because, and Supper's not listening right now, I was thinking about birthday ideas because it's coming up in about a month, and every year I get caught like, oh God, we're down to 2 or 3 days. I got to come up with something.
You're going
to
have Scott Hansen do a birthday greeting for your wife?
You and Dibs tonight, 7 minutes. I thought that'd be a good way to bring it home. Your husband, he's getting older, but he's ready to roll. 7 minutes of unadulterated wrestling.
That's pretty impressive.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
7 minutes.
He goes, I don't pee for 7 hours, but you should see how many times Dibs does.
No, and I looked
that's
at the
exactly.
Price.
So he asked, he's like, hey, Do you think you could get Scott Hansen to do a draft order for us? Because his cousin wants to spend $250 on a cameo.
$266.
So you looked it up.
I'm looking at it right
so
now.
So I said two things. I go, first of all, it would kind of probably be, if he makes a lot of money doing that, it's not necessarily most appropriate for me to ask. And secondly, I don't really know Scott that well. We've had Scott on the air. I don't text with Scott. I don't know Scott. And so I'm like, plus you're giving me like 4 days notice. And Scott has a lot of requests out there. So anyway, I downplayed the whole thing big time because I'm like, I do not think that I can make that happen at all. But I did think like we should ask Lucas, like when are we getting him on? Because if he's on the show, I'll totally be like, hey, Scott. Stay on hold after the interview's over.
Would you mind doing a quick 14-team introductions? With the first pick.
Do you remember last time he came on, he sent a message to Jude? We had him send him, and Jude's eyes almost flew out of his head. Like, they love
Scott Hansen.
They think Scott Hansen is, like, a major celebrity. And I'm not saying he's not, but do you know what I mean? Like, he'd be on the top five. Like, what celebrity do you want to meet? Scott Hansen. That's their guy.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I'm just starting to, like, stick my toe into the cameo pool because I thought about that. Supper's got a couple of celebrities that she really, really loves. Like, she's a Howard Stern fan, so I was going to think maybe it's a Howard Stern or there's a couple others that she's, like, she would really be into. So, I just pulled up The Office. Friend of the program, Brian Baumgartner.
Yeah.
On cameo, what do you think that Kevin from The Office charges for a cameo? He's done 5,934 of them. What does Kevin from The Office does a little like this? I'm sure he does the voice. How much does Brian Baumgartner? I'll give you plus or minus $750 either direction. I'll give you
$7.50.
That's a $15 buffer. So you know it's not $15.
$425.
I'm sorry. You can get Kevin from The Office for $195.
Oh, see, I've never done cameo, so I didn't know he's less than Scott Hansen.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
My buddy had in our league had John Gruden do a review of our draft last year. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Like, cameo, right?
Unbelievable. I don't know what he paid for it.
$249.
For John Gruden?
Yeah.
To review your fantasy draft?
It just says book a personal video.
Okay.
Say happy birthday, fantasy football, send a pep talk, roast someone, get advice, ask a question.
There was a lot of roast. There was a lot of roast in there. A lot of roast. It was in the afternoon, so it wasn't the morning roast.
The average video length is 3 minutes and 42, so not terrible.
Dude. How do we get in on this?
Well, it's funny because I was thinking
what
about...
What if we could charge like $7? Could we do some videos?
$7?
Yeah.
Hey, Gene in Oakland, this is Dibs. How's the dog park today? All right, have a good one.
Okay, bye.
You'd be surprised at some of the lower level cameos that are out there. I'll do more research. This is fun.
Not lower than us, though.
I would imagine.
Hey, what are you doing, Lucas? What are we about to do?
Crossover.
Okay, and...
Just a conversation after this most recent Giants loss.
Okay. All right, good. That's what's coming up on the Best of the Game. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Would you like to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Tomorrow's the trade deadline.
Yeah. Players going to be flying, literally, in planes to new teams.
All right. For Dibs, for Lucas, for Ken, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Unbelievable.